Morning. Today's daf in the Durham is daf Tes Vav. Find ourselves on the Mishnah Yudal Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Karnim Shani. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lona Zeich Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bashmuel. And let's get started. Karnim Shani Yashan. So a person makes a shvuah. Neder. A person makes a neder and he says that he's not going to sleep. Or Shani Medaber feels that he talks too much, and so therefore he wants to cut down his talking. So he says, Ani Medaber. He says, I'm not going to talk. Or Shani Mahalechor decides that, you know what, walking, what's the point of walking? There's nothing good that comes out of walking. So he makes a neder that he's not going to walk. Haomer Lisha Konim Shani Meshamshech. So, or if a person makes a neder and he says to his wife, we're not going to have tashmish anymore. So Areza Belo Yachel Dvaro. So in all these cases, he's in violation of Yachel Dvaro. A couple points to make on the Mishnah. Number one, the Ran says you got to be very careful when you read the Mishnah. I think I made the mistake once, maybe even twice. Right? Instead of saying the word She'ini, you have to say the word Sha'ani. Right? Without a Yud. And again, when we learn Nedarim, you have to be very precise in the language. And the Ran says here, you have to be very precise in the language. So again, if you look at the beginning of the Mishnah, Konim She'ani Yashen. So it has to be that I'm not going to sleep. What's the difference between Ani and Ani? It sounds pretty much the same. So the Ran says, but you got to remember what we learned from day one of the Masechta, and we're going to keep repeating again and again. The fundamental difference between Neder and Shvuah. Neder is going in an item. I'm prohibiting an item. And that item is going to be prohibited to me. But the focus of a neder is on an item. When it comes to a shvuah is me. Shvuah is a gavra. It's a personal commitment that you make. So when we're talking about sleep over here, so if I say konim she'eini yashen, if I say that I'm not going to sleep, so that sounds like a shvuah. We don't want it. Right now, we don't want to say shvuah because we're learning nedarim. Meaning, if we're learning shvuah, so that's great. That would be perfect. But we're not learning shvuah. We're learning masechta and nedarim, so it has to be going in an item. So what's the item? So the item over here, oddly enough, is you, your physical body. So you're saying konim she'eini yashen. So I'm making a neder that I'm not going to sleep, meaning the neder is going on you, the person. Meaning you, the physical entity. That's the first point the Ran makes within the Mishnah. Now, later on, the Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, which is, and it's something that we learned already. Well, in other words, we're talking about sleep. So, really, I'm nitpicking over here when I say ani versus ani, because when all said and done, we're talking about sleep. Sleep is not a tangible item. In order for a neder to be chal, it has to go on a tangible item, and we're talking about sleep and speech. And okay, so that it's fundamentally difficult. The Mishnah is difficult, and so we're going to the Gemara later on will address that point. We're going to come back to that point at some midpoint of today's daf. Another issue which I'll raise now, which we're only going to answer later on, is think about what he's saying. I'm not going to sleep. It's physically impossible. In fact, we're going to see the Gemara says a number of times, right? You can't physically go 3 days without sleep. It's impossible. So the person's declarative statement of something that's just simply not possible. So how can that be? And the Mishnah says he's in violation by Yachel. In violation by Yachel, he's saying something which is physically impossible. All right, not speaking, not walking. I guess that's within the realm of possibility. It's very difficult, but not sleeping—that's just simply impossible. And there's no time limit to the Mishnah. That's hard to imagine. Okay, so another issue, another basic issue which needs to be raised. I'm raising it now, and as we go through the Gemara is going to. The Gemara is going to address some of these issues. Okay, start with the Gemara. Now, the Gemara is going to be dealing with a number of scenarios that are all going to revolve around one basic idea. So let me just introduce the idea, which we've already seen before, and then we'll start with the Gemara. The idea is that sometimes what people do is they take an Isser and they connect it to a Tanai, they connect it to a condition. Okay, we've seen this time and again. It's very popular in the world of Kedushin and Gittin, where a man's Mekadosh a woman, but Al-Tanai, he does so on a condition. He divorces his wife, but Al-Tanai in condition. And very often we find that conditions are part and parcel of the fabric of Halacha. Here it's a little bit interesting and challenging that we're connecting a condition to a neder. Okay, but it does serve as a basic problem. For this morning, I'll avoid the whole issue in terms of why is it such a fundamental problem, but we'll just deal with the fact that we're going to be discussing now for most of today a condition and a neder. So let's start with the Gemara. The Gemara is going to open up with a number of scenarios. Itmar. Konim einei b'sheinas hayom im ishan lamachar. Okay, so there's a neder and there's a trigger. In case number one of the Gemara, you have the neder being day one and the trigger being day two. Neder meaning I'm not sleeping today. Okay, today's Monday. Okay, it's a never good day to sleep on Monday. Right, Sunday is fine, but Monday you can write, no, I'm not sleeping today. And just to encourage himself, he says, I'm making a neder that I'm going to prohibit sleeping by myself. So again, I know the fundamental issue of sleep not being a tangible item, which we'll get to later on. But in the meantime, however, neder for day one today is I'm not going to sleep today. However, I'm going to attach a condition. There's going to be a trigger to the neder, and the trigger is going to be tomorrow, day two, Tuesday. And so, my neder will only be in effect today if I sleep tomorrow. I know that's complicated. I know that, like, you know, it's like it's a strange scenario what the person's motivation is. Like, you know,
but I think that the precondition is going to follow.
The trigger is going to be after the event. I know.
How could that be? Like, usually, a conditional sentence.
Correct. Absolutely correct. I mean, it's strange, but again, it's okay. It's the trigger's later, and it will trigger it all retroactively. Okay, I know it's strange. So konim einei b'sheinas hayom im ishan lamachar. So Am Rav Yehuda Merav ayeshan hayom shem yishan lamachar. So Rav Yehuda Merav says, well, don't fall asleep today on Monday, because look, even though today you're not yet bound by the neder. Because again, in order to be bound by the neder, so you need to let off the trigger. So, and the trigger is not going to be till tomorrow. But Rav Yehuda Merav says Chachamein of Barosho. Just think ahead a little bit. Meaning, who's to say what's going to happen tomorrow? In other words, you may or you may not sleep tomorrow. So you know what? Avoid the whole problem by just simply not sleeping today. So that's Rav Yehuda Merav's opinion. Al Yishin Hayom, don't fall asleep today. Shema Yishin Lamacha, because I may fall asleep tomorrow. Rav Nachman, Amar Yishin Hayom V'lo Cheshin Shema Yishin Lamacha. And Rav Nachman, somewhat more carefree, it's not really carefree, but in other words, Rav Nachman says, look, you want to sleep today? That's fine. Just don't sleep tomorrow. Meaning, tomorrow's a trigger. The neder is only going to be enforced if I trip the trigger tomorrow. So you know what? You sleep today and just don't trip the trigger tomorrow.
The sequence of events is that the first day he's not going to sleep. The second day he's sleeping, right?
The first day is the neder, the actual neder. In other words, I'm bound by neder not to sleep today. But the neder is only going to be in force only if I trigger the neder. And then and the trigger is, the condition is, only if I sleep tomorrow.
But Reversing it.
No, he's not reversing it.
No, you're not going to sleep tomorrow.
Well, no. He says you'll sleep today because I'm not worried that you're not going to sleep tomorrow, because tomorrow I'll make sure that you'll be up the whole day.
And the thing is but that doesn't follow the sequence of the events that he was promising.
No.
He promised that he's going to stay awake for day number one. Day number two is going to go to sleep. That's being reversed, no?
No. Day number one is the actual neder, and day number two is a trigger for the neder. All day number two is a trigger.
What's going to happen on day number one?
Day number one, if he doesn't sleep on day number one, so then everything's fine. In other words, so even if he triggers off the neder, but he didn't violate the neder. Okay. Day number two is the trigger for day number one. So in day number one, if he falls asleep, so now he puts himself in a very precarious situation. Now he is going to be in violation of his neder, but only if he triggers the neder. And the trigger that he attached to his neder is, if I fall asleep on day two. So Rav Yehuda Merav says, okay, so you know what? Don't fall asleep on day one. Don't put yourself in that precarious situation. And Rav Nachman says, no, I'm not worried. Meaning, even if he falls asleep on day one, okay, so...
He tries not to trigger the tonight.
Right. In other words, he just right. He was just won't, he won't trigger the tonight. Okay. So umoda Rav Yehuda, but that's where there's a disagreement between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. Well, here's where there is agreement. Agreement is going to be umoda Rav Yehuda, but omer konim eina b'sheni lamachar im ishan hayom. What we would call, I guess, a more normal scenario of trigger and actual neder. So here now the case is going to be flipped. Monday is going to be the trigger day. Tuesday is going to be the actual neder day. Tomorrow, I'm going to be bound by neder if I fall asleep today. Okay, so now, day one today, Monday, is the trigger day. Tomorrow, Tuesday, is the actual neder day. So if I fall asleep today, so then I'm bound by that neder. So here we have agreement. What's the agreement? The Gemara goes on to say, let me reread that. So here we all agree that you can fall asleep today. Why? Because the Gemara says, we're now on the top of Tesvav Amin Aleph, Ki lo mizdaher bitanai, aval bi iser mizdaher. Gemara says like this, look, people are scared about nedarim. People, generally speaking, have a sense of awe and respect regarding a neder. So if today's a neder day, so people are generally thinking to themselves, this is a neder. In other words, it's an iser daraisa, it's a violation of Torah law to go ahead and violate the neder. So people have a general propensity to be scared and to be fearful of a neder. So if day one is only a trigger day, meaning what's day one? It's just a trigger. A trigger day, if I sleep on day one, meaning in case number two of the Gemara, where day one is the trigger day and day two is the neder day. If I fall asleep on day one, okay, so I've set the neder in motion. Okay, but I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't violate any Isser. And now we get to day two. Day two, today's Neder day. And the Neder's enforced because I set off the trigger. Okay, so good. So I won't sleep on day two. And here we have agreement. Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda Amar Rav both agree. Well, Rav Nachman already, we already know Rav Nachman was going to agree to this point. But Rav Yehuda Amar Rav agrees to Rav Nachman. We're not worried because people are typically scared of the Neder. Let's go back to the first case. Let's just review that first case and see now, in stark contrast, where they disagree. They disagree in the scenario where day one is neder day, day two is trigger day. So day one is neder day, so he goes to sleep on day one. Okay, now he's in a very precarious situation. Because now as he moves into day two, so day two, if he sets off the trigger, so then retroactively he's going to be in violation of his neder. So here Rav Nachman says, okay, so he won't set off the trigger. In other words, he'll be careful. And here Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, no. People aren't worried about so much about the Tanai. People are worried about the Neder. People aren't worried about the Tanai. It's, you know, it's a psychological analysis of what people are generally scared of. And so therefore, Rav Yehuda says, if day two is only the trigger day, now people are going to succumb to their to temptation of falling asleep. And the fear of neder is not upon them because today's not neder day, only yesterday was neder day. Now again, if you think about it for just a moment, you realize, well, okay, yesterday was neder day, but yesterday I did fall asleep. And today if I set off the trigger, so then I'm retroactively, I'm violating the neder, but Rav Yehuda says, yeah, but people aren't normally worried about that. Okay.
When the tonight is first, and neder is second, so why do they agree? Because they shouldn't agree. They should say...
Right, you're making a very good common sense point. Meaning, if you don't set off the neder into motion, so then tomorrow you don't have anything to worry about. Right, correct. You know, all you need is a little bit of advanced planning, and you realize, like, you know, you can have a carefree day tomorrow. In other words, all you have to do is just go through today, not sleep, and tomorrow you'll be carefree. But again, though, I hear you. I think it's a very reasonable point. But the Gemara says that for the day of Tanai, we're not worried. For the day of Neder, okay, so people are, generally speaking, going to be concerned. Okay. So we're now on the top of Tezvav Amin Aleph, Tanan. Okay. So that's the machlokes between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, where there is a point of agreement and a point of disagreement. In case number two, just quickly to review. In case number two, where it's Monday is your trigger day, your Tanai. Tuesday is your actual Neder. So they both agree you could go to sleep on Monday. Okay, now the Neder is enforced. Okay, but Tuesday you're not going to sleep. That's where they agree. Where do they disagree? Where day one, Monday is your Neder. The day of Neder. Tuesday is your Tanai, that's your trigger day. And so here they disagree. Can you fall asleep on Monday? So Rav Yehuda Marav says no. Rav Nachman says yes. That's where they disagree. Okay, and where does all this take us to? Tanan. We go now back to our Mishnah. Now when we learned our Mishnah together, so Yeah. When we learned our Mishnah together, so the Mishnah was a very simple scenario. Let us go back to our Mishnah. Let's analyze the Mishnah a little bit better. Tanan. Konim she'ani yashen, she'ani ma'alach, she'ani medaber v'chulei. The Mishnah describes a scenario where a person makes a neder and he says, I'm not sleeping. Done. I'm done with sleeping. What an inconvenient sleep it is. So, and the Mishnah says, if he says it, he violates Bal Yachel Devaro. Hei Chidami. What exactly is the case of the Mishnah? If you want to take the Mishnah at face value, you really can't. Because me have a nidra. Because that's not a neder, that's a nun. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah. We've seen this Mishnah once before in the Masechta, back on Daf Yud Gimel. We get to see it now again, a couple days later. When you're making your shvur, shvurs can go on tangible and intangible items. Because remember, shvur is you. That's a you commitment. Neder can only go on tangible items. Sleep is not a tangible item. V'shena dar v'shen ba mamashu. So ela da amar konim eini or einai b'shena. So the Gemara says, okay, well that could be sidestepped because we could suggest, and in fact we are suggesting, that what he's saying in our Mishnah, in order to formulate it as a neder, is that it's going on his eyes. My eyes are not going to go to sleep. Okay, so he's actually pointing to a tangible item, i.e. his eyes. So
his body, though, it's not an object that he could... I know.
For some reason, the Gemara feels that this is a tangible item. So the Gemara says, now, again, even as we now sidestep that issue, the Gemara says, yeah, but there's another issue which we're running right into. And that is, there's no time limit. The Mishnah says, The Mishnah says, I'm making a neder that my eyes are not going to experience sleep. Okay. And now what? Gemara says, V'amar Rav Yochanan, Shvur Shalo Ishan Shloshi Yamim Makanosov Yishan La'altar. Meanwhile, the Gemara makes a statement. We saw this back in Yevamos. The person makes a Shvur and he says that I make a Shvur that I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. So what is that? That's called the Shvur Shav. It's a ridiculous statement. And if you make an oath to a ridiculous statement, so you're in violation of the Isser in the Torah of Shvur Shav. You made a Shvur that cannot be. And that's an Isser in the Torah. And Malkanoso, and you get Malkus. Vishen La'alta, and you can go to sleep right away. Meaning, there's simply no there's no potency. There's no effectiveness whatsoever to the Shvur that you just made. Okay. Pause here for just a moment. I'm going to make a point that the Ran makes on the bottom of the previous Amud, but it's an important point, and it's something that just we always have to keep in mind while learning this Masechta. We're not talking about Nedarim, we're not talking about Shavuos, meaning there are two Masechtas out there. There's one called Nedarim, which is what we're learning, and there's one called Shavuos. And again, the fundamental difference between the two is that the Ned is going on an object, and the Shavuos is going on you, the individual. Okay, good. That we've gone over time and again. Here, the Gemara quotes a statement made by Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan says that if a person makes a shvur and he says, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days, so that's a shvur shav, that's a pointless shvur. It's not just pointless, it's an impossible shvur, and so therefore he gets malchus for making such a shvur. Okay, and he gets to sleep right away because, again, there's no validity to a shvur whatsoever. And the Gemara is bothered because our Mishnah is describing a similar scenario where a person makes a neder that he's not going to sleep for 3 days. Now again, the neder is not going on him. The neder is going on his eyes. I know. I realize that that's a very sharp distinction. But fine. But the Ran points out in the bottom of the previous Amud. Look, we know there's a concept of shvur shav. Is there a concept of neder shav? So the Ran says not really. Meaning there's an issur in the Torah that you're not allowed to make a pointless shvur. There's no issur in the Torah of making a pointless neder. There's no issur. It's not right, but there's no Isra in the Torah. So the Ran writes in the bottom of the previous Amud. I'm just going to read inside. If you turn back to the bottom of Yudal Amud Beis, the Elo da Amar Konim Einib Einai B'Shena Klomar the Kamash Malan Dinihi De'ef Sher B'Lo Shena Afilo Hachi Iyashen Shlo Mitocha Ones Harizde B'Lo Yachel Umiyashav Kina Le Ad Avad Isra Ba Yachel Klomar B'Chi Hay Gavna Michael Nidra Klal Kevin De'Isher Lo Lekaimo B'Sofo. It's just simply an unsustainable neder because you can't do that. You can't go without sleep. Vanaka lishna de mishav kinan le mishum de bayla suya Allah de Rav Yochanan. Now the Gemara says, look, we are going to quote Rav Yochanan. I mean, we already read it together in the Gemara. So we've already seen it happen. The Rosh is simply explaining, like walking us through the Gemara. The Gemara moves from the point of, we're not going to, it's an unsustainable neder, and then the Gemara is going to quote Rav Yochanan. But the Ron says, but be sensitive. Shehi b'shvua, v'shvua shaychai lishna. Rav Yochanan's statement was as it relates to shvua, meaning in Rav Yochanan's scenario, he's talking about where the person says, I'm not going to sleep for 3 days. Klomar, deloshavkinan, milahalkoso ada avar ista bayachel. So, and in Rav Yochanan's scenario, once he makes that utterance out of his mouth, so right away we say, you know, you shouldn't have said that. That's a shvua shav. And right away, you give him malchus. So, el al alter malchus also mishum shvua shav. V'alfa gav de beneder lo shaychachi. Now, again, we're not talking about a shvua in our Gemara, in our Mishnah. We're talking about a neder. And by a neder, you're not going to get malchus. The Ron goes on to say, de neder shav lo ashkechan da aser. There's no iser in the Torah, neder shav, mishum shvua nakad hay lishna. So, we're just borrowing the language of Rav Yochanan, but keep in mind that we're talking about nedarim. The only difference it's going to make practically is that you're not going to get malchus. Practically, that's the only difference it makes. But still, the point of the Gemara is going to be the same point. It's an unsustainable neder, and so therefore should have no validity to it whatsoever. Okay, good. Just an important, again, just an awareness of we're learning nedarim, this is not shvuos, and sometimes the Gemara is going to borrow a point from Masechta Shvuos, but really, it doesn't always mean that it has full application to our discussion.
Is the neder done in front of witnesses?
It doesn't. No, no. You're creating an isser, so you don't have to. You don't need witnesses to create an isser.
So how would they know to give him malchus?
No, in the case of shvuos, right. The only time you're going to get malchus is if done in front of witnesses, and they have to warn you. They have to tell you not to do it. Okay, v'shena davar mam. I'm sorry. We quoted Rav Yochanan. We're back into the Gemara. Ela de Amar. Sorry. Now back to the Gemara in Tezvav Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. Ela de Amar konim ena v'shena lamachar im ishan hayom. So the Gemara says, okay. So now, again, there were two problems. One we circumvented, and one we're about to circumvent. One problem is that how can a person make a neder about not sleeping? Sleeping is intangible. So answer, we're not talking about sleeping, we're talking about the neder's going on your eyes. My eyes will not experience sleep. Okay, that was issue number one circumvented. Issue number two, if there's no time limit, it's an unsustainable neder, and therefore it has no validity whatsoever. So therefore the Gemara says, it's not a neder with no term, there is a term to the neder. And then the Gemara makes an assumption. And the Ron goes on to explain, you know why that we're about to make this assumption? It can't be the Mishnah is just talking about a very straightforward scenario where the person makes a neder, I'm not going to sleep for 1 day. Because that's obvious. If the Mishnah is going to teach us something, the Mishnah's got to teach us something which is nuanced, something which is a chiddush, and so therefore the Mishnah must be addressing the following scenario. Now I know, that as the Gemara doesn't, the Gemara will realize this also, we're reading a lot into the Mishnah. But do you know what the Mishnah is talking about? It's talking about the following scenario. Ela d'amar konim eina b'shena l'machar im ishan hayom. The person makes a neder with a trigger, and the trigger is that I will not sleep tomorrow, but the neder will only be enforced if I sleep today. So again, Monday is the trigger day, and Tuesday is the neder day. The Gemara says, yeah, but, and I'm sorry, and the point the Mishnah is making is, don't go to sleep on Monday. That's what the Mishnah is teaching us. So the Gemara says, well, no, the Mishnah is not teaching us that, because didn't the Gemara say that between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, we have agreement that if the trigger day is Monday and the neder day is Tuesday, everyone agrees that you can go to sleep on Monday, because everyone will be careful about Tuesday. So So the Gemara says, okay, so the case of the Mishnah must be reversed. Monday is neder day. I'm not sleeping today by force of a neder. But the neder will only be in force if I sleep tomorrow. Okay, so that's what the Mishnah is talking about. And again, I know we're reading a lot into the Mishnah. Mishnah makes no, doesn't give us a hint that it's talking about a neder with a Tanai, and the Tanai is built in, and the neder is day one, and the Tanai is day two. I understand the Mishnah doesn't say any of that. But again, the reason why the Gemara is painting itself into such a corner is because the Mishnah cannot be read at its simple face value, because no such neder exists. So therefore, the Mishnah is talking about where neder is day one, Tanai trigger is day two. V'ilo naim hayom ki naim lamachar may bayachol devaro ika elalav b'denayim. And again, so what's the case the Mishnah is dealing with? Well, if you didn't sleep on Monday, so then Tuesday you got no issue. Meaning Tuesday you're triggering the neder. Okay, that's great. You didn't sleep on Monday. So it must be, again, we're setting up the case of the Mishnah. You made the neder for Monday. The trigger is going to be Tuesday. You slept on Monday, so now everything's in place, and now Tuesday comes along. So Alma Isa Denayim, Uti Yufta de Rav Yehuda. So it must be that you made the neder for Monday. The trigger is Tuesday. You slept on Monday, and now it's in place. And what's the Mishnah telling us? Don't go to sleep on Tuesday. Because if you do, you're in violation of Bal Yachel. Because by going to sleep on Tuesday, you now trigger the neder. And so now you're retroactively in violation of Bal Yachel. That's the entire pshat of the Mishnah. If that's the entire pshat of the Mishnah, and again, that was a lot of speculation. But if that's the entire pshat in the Mishnah, that's difficult for Rav Yehuda, because Rav Yehuda teaches us that one is not allowed to sleep on Monday for fear that he's going to fall asleep on Tuesday. So ki ketani de'inayim. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? It's very simple to defend Rav Yehuda. How are we going to defend Rav Yehuda? De'inayim. If he falls asleep on Monday, so then he's going to be in violation, or possible violation of Bal Yachel, if and when he falls asleep on Tuesday. But in other words, he shouldn't go to sleep on Monday altogether. That's going to be our defense of Rav Yehuda. Okay. That was a lot. Meaning, that was a lot of built-in assumptions in terms of how to learn the Mishnah. But again, the reason why the Gemara did that, it's because the Mishnah cannot be read at face value. Mishnah makes it gives us a description of a person making a neder. He's not going to sleep. And again, neder has to go on a tangible item. So the Gemara says that the neder is on his eyes, which is a tangible item. But if there's no term, so then that is it's an unsustainable neder, and therefore not enforced at all. So it must be a neder with term. And again, just to ratchet up the chiddush, it's a neder with term. And also, not only that, but one day he makes the neder, and the second day the trigger for the neder. Okay, Ravina Amar La'olam Kediktani. Ravina says, you know what? Scratch everything we just said. Meaning, what we could do is we could learn our Mishnah totally differently, a simpler reading of the Mishnah, and if we do that, then none of this becomes a difficulty for Rav Yehuda, Rav Nachman. It doesn't get involved in the case of Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman. And let's read the Mishnah much simpler. Umay b'yachel midrabanan. The Mishnah says a person makes a neder. And the neder is, I'm not going to sleep. My eyes are not going to experience sleep. To which the Gemara says, and how is that a violation of a neder? Meaning, there's no terms. So the Gemara says, you're right. Min haTorah, it's not a neder. But however, midrabanan, you're subject to bal yachel devaro. It is a rabbinic prohibition to make such a neder, even though the Torah does not Torah doesn't recognize such a neder. But the Chachamim said, no, don't do that. Omika bal yachel midrabanan. The Gemara says, really? That such a concept exists? That there's a rabbinic prohibition of bal yachel? So the Gemara says, the Gemara says, absolutely. V'atanya, dvar ma'mutarim v'acherim na'agu ba'emeser, yatara shalatirim b'fneim, sh'nemar lo yechel dvaro. Something which is mutter, but other people accepted upon themselves an iser. So in other words, they took upon themselves an eder. So the Gemara says, yatara shalatirim b'fneim, sh'nemar lo yechel dvaro. So you're going to be in violation of lo yechel. Now we're not talking about a bona fide neder. We're talking about people took on extra yisurim upon themselves, and the Braisa quotes the pasuk of lo yachel devaro. Okay, so the so you see that that we could use the pasuk of lo yachel even though it doesn't apply to a neder d'oraisa, even though it only applies to a neder d'rabbanan. What do we gain with Ravina? We've said a simpler pshat in the Mishnah. What needs to be changed is that we're not talking about neder d'oraisa. We're talking about neder d'rabbanan. But in doing so, A, we read the Mishnah much more simply, and B, doesn't get involved in the whole Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda debate. Our Mishnah doesn't pose a challenge to Rav Yehuda. Okay, good. Let's reset the issue and let's go on in the Gemara. Resetting the issue. I have 2 days. I have a neder day, day one, and I have a trigger day, day two. So, on day one, and in the case where Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman are debating, in day one, the neder was, I'm not going to sleep today. By force of a neder, I'm not going to sleep today. Day two is the trigger day. Day two is, if I sleep on day two, that will trigger off the neder. And so, the question stands, can he go to sleep on day one? So Rav Nachman says, sure, no problem at all. Because we're not worried about him setting off the trigger, he'll be careful. And Rav Yehuda says, no, you can't sleep on day one. Because you sleep on day one, then you're going to go to sleep on day two. Because day two is not neder day. Day two is just a trigger day. And people are not careful about the trigger. There are people who are only careful about the neder. That's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. To that, the Gemara says, Tanan. So here we go now. We're going to try to challenge Rav Yehuda once again. Sha'at ne'nezli ad ha-pesach im telcha le-beis avich ad ha-chag. Rabbi Goldberg gave a wonderful marriage counseling session a month ago, 2 months ago. Anyway, he says that generally speaking, there are 3 fights within every husband and wife. So number one, let's see if I can remember this. Number one is money. Number two is in-laws. And number three, what was the third thing people fight about?
Money.
Right, money and in-laws one and two. And okay, I don't remember. The kids maybe, I don't know. Okay, anyway, so but in-laws becomes a big sticking point between husband and wife, and not only does Rabbi Goldberg say it, but we see it throughout the Gemara, that in-laws become a bit of an issue. So the husband says to his wife as follows: Atna nisli. So once again, we're going to have a neder and we're going to have a trigger. The neder is, he says to his wife, you're not going to get any hana from me. Meaning all my possessions are going to be prohibited to you. Okay, and you could do that. In other words, I mean, you shouldn't do that, obviously. Again, all nedarim are made reactionary. They're all emotional. But he shouldn't do that. But he says to his wife, all my possessions become prohibited to you. And the trigger is, if you go to your parents' house. Right? I don't want you by your parents' house. Right? You go to your parents' house, they give you these crazy ideas. You know what? Don't go there. So the trigger to the neder is, if you go to your parents' house. Now, in case number one, you cannot get hanah from me up until Pesach, meaning we're at some point on the calendar before Pesach, obviously. And you cannot go to your parents' house throughout the duration of the summer up until Sukkot. Okay, so the trigger goes well beyond the point of the neder. So it's similar, right? Everyone see the similarity? The neder goes from where we are right now till Pesach. Let's say we're a month before Pesach. The trigger starts from now and goes through Pesach, through the entire summer, up until Sukkot. Okay, so we have a neder and we have a trigger.
Can you learn what the difference is? If a husband makes a neder like this, why can't you get the
The wife, if she has nadar, we talked about pre-existing nadarim by a wife. Pre-existing.
Yeah, but forbidding the wife from presenting the parents.
Well, okay. Well, hold 1 second. We're gonna touch on something. In other words, there's shibudim. There are obligations the husband has to his wife. Okay, we'll kind of talk about that later. So anyway, im telcha lebeis avich ad achag halcha lifnei Pesach. Asur ba'ana ad ha-Pesach. So now, if she goes to her parents' house before Pesach, so then she triggered off the neder, and therefore she cannot benefit from her husband up until Pesach. Okay. Halcha lifnei Pesach, asura. Lo halcha, lo. So the Gemara now, after having read this Braisa, makes a very simple diuk. What's the diuk? Look, what the Braisa says is that if she goes to her parents' house up until Pesach, What if Pesach has come and gone? Now, it's after Pesach, post-Pesach. So now, up until Pesach, she's been enjoying all of her husband's possessions. She's gotten hanah. That's fine, because she hasn't released the trigger. But remember, the trigger was, if you go to your parents' house, up until Sukkos. What does it sound like from the Mishnah, from this Braisa? So, halcha lefnei Pesach asur lo, halcha lo. It means that if she didn't, only if she went before Pesach, but she didn't go, so then it wouldn't be a problem. So, Amar Rabbi Abba, halcha lefnei Pesach asur v'loka. Lo halcha asur v'alma. So the Gemara suggests as follows. No, she can't go to her parents' house before Pesach. Okay. And if she does, and again, assuming that she already benefited from her husband, so not only did she violate the neder, but she's also going to receive malchus. What if after Pesach she goes to her parents' house? If she goes to her parents' house after Pesach, that's an isser. You're not going to get malchus because the only time that the neder was violated was earlier. She only set off the trigger. It retroactively kicked the neder in. So she's not going to get malchus, but still there's going to be an isser as well. Okay, so that's the Gemara's defense of Rav Yehuda. Amos Sefer, the Gemara says, well, let's keep reading on. Achra Pesach b'Val Yachel Dvaro. So the Gemara says, after Pesach, she's in violation of Bayachel. In other words, she violated the neder. V'idol o'isan lifnei Pesach mika Bayachel. So the Gemara says, now, obviously she benefited from her husband up until Pesach. Otherwise, there's nothing to talk about. Elapshita di'isani. Alma mitani. So what do you see over here? You see that she benefited from her husband before Pesach. And if she goes after Pesach to her father's house, so then that triggers off her neder, and therefore she's in violation of Bayachel. Ama mitani v'tiyufta de Rav Yehuda. But that does not bode well for Rav Yehuda. Because remember, what did Rav Yehuda say? Rav Yehuda says that if you have neder, Monday is neder, Tuesday is trigger. What did Rav Yehuda say? Don't sleep on Monday. Because you sleep on Monday, people are not going to worry about the Tuesday being a trigger day. Because people aren't worried about it tonight. People are worried about it now, not of it tonight. Meanwhile, what did we just learn together? In the strange scenario where the husband says to his wife, don't get benefit from me, you're bound by a neder not to get benefit from me. That's up until Pesach. If you go to your parents' house, up until Sukkos. And what does it sound like from the Bryce? It sounds like that she's more than welcome to benefit from her husband. And if she goes to her parents' house from Pesach until Sukkos, she violates the neder because she triggers off the neder. But it certainly sounds like, according to the Mishnah, we're not worried about her benefiting from her husband. In other words, because she'll take the efforts and pains not to go to her parents' house up until Sukkos. And if she does, she'll violate the neder. But generally speaking, we're not worried about that. And that's difficult for Rav Yehuda. That's a great question. And I tell you why it's a great question. Because I wasn't planning on discussing it. The Ran has a debate between himself and the Rambam in terms of who's going to be receiving malchus for this. Is it the man who uttered the neder, or is it she who violated the neder? Okay, so come to me afterwards, and I'll give you more information about this debate. But anyway, kikatani diitani hareza beval yachal dvaro. So the Gemara says, okay, once again, to defend Rav Yehuda, what we're going to suggest now is di. No, it doesn't mean that she's allowed to benefit from her husband up until Pesach. She shouldn't benefit from her husband up until Pesach. The Mishnah is only addressing if she does, and then she triggers off the neder, then she's violating Bayachel. But really, fundamentally, up until Pesach, she shouldn't be receiving any benefit from her husband for fear that she's going to trigger it off at one point during the summer. Okay. Tanan. We're going to do this one more time in terms of trying to seemingly poke a hole in the opinion of Rav Yehuda.
Bal Yachal makes it a Derabanan issue, right? It's a Derabanan violation.
No, In this case, we're talking about making his possessions prohibited to her. That's a neder. That's a bona fide neder. Our Mishnah is talking about sleep, which is, you know, debatable. Tanan. We learned in a Mishnah. Okay, so here now, flip. The trigger is don't go to your father's house before Pesach. Don't go to your parents' house before Pesach. And if you go, right. Don't go to your parents' house up until Pesach, and the neder will be you can't get benefit from me throughout the entire summer up until Sukkos. So here, flipped. First it's the trigger, then it's the neder. So halchlef ne'a Pesach hasdor banas adachag. So Mishnah says what is obvious, and that is that if she goes to her parents' house before Pesach, so then she sets off the neder, and she will be bound by this neder not to get benefit from her husband up until Sukkos, up to and through Sukkos. Umuter salech achra Pesach. However, after Pesach, no problem. Meaning because there's no longer a way of her triggering off the neder. Okay. Halcha asura. Lo halcha lo. So, again, just after having read the Mishnah, Gemara is going to make a very simple diuk. And that is, only if she goes is it going to be prohibited, but if she doesn't go, it's going to be fine. Meaning she can get benefit. Despite the fact that if she doesn't go, there is a possibility, at least up until Pesach, where she's going to be triggering off the neder. So the Gemara says, no. She shouldn't be benefiting from her husband up until Pesach. So the Gemara says, again, just we're going to go over the basics. If she goes to her parents' house, trigger off the neder, and then she benefits, that's A, not only a violation of the neder, but she's subject to malchus. But lo halcha asura ba'alma. But if she doesn't go, so then benefiting is just an isur ba'alma. Meaning for concern that she may trigger off the neder, so therefore she shouldn't benefit from her husband. Okay. Meisvei kikar zu alai hayom im elech lamakom ploni lamachar. Okay, it's going to be this is a Tosefta, and again, the same construct in which piece of bread's in front of him. Bread looks delicious. He doesn't want to eat it. So he makes a neder, and he says, this bread is prohibited to me. And then he sets in a tanai. And what's the tanai? Im eilech lamakom ploni lamachar. If I go to such a place tomorrow, achal areza b'val yachal. So if he eats the bread, he's in violation of b'yachal. Miktani ochel achal ketani. Di'i achal hareza b'val yelech. So the Gemara says, it just simply means that if he eats the bread, so now he's looking at the potential pitfall of triggering off the neder and violating the neder. But again, if you're Rav Yehuda, what you're going to say is, don't eat the bread. Period. Meaning, even though you haven't triggered off the neder, don't eat the bread. So, halach harizah b'val yelach devaro. So, I'm sorry. Ochak tani dichiach harizah b'val. So, yelach halach harizah b'val yachel devaro. So, mahalach lo. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if you look carefully, read carefully the wording, it doesn't say mahalach, v'kashal Rav Yehuda. Amalach Rav Yehuda, adin delesne mahalach. The Gemara says, no, according to Rav Yehuda, really, it should say mahalach. I did, diktani resha achal, delo misne le, ochel tani seifa halach. So the Gemara says, yeah, but for purposes of symmetry. But according to Rav Yehuda, really, on day one, you should not be eating the bread, because for fear that you may be triggering it off. Okay, so once again, the Gemara spent a lot of time attacking the position of Yehuda. Again, here's where we all agree. We all agree that if it is trigger followed then by neder, so no problem triggering off the neder because people are careful about nedarim. If it's neder then followed by trigger, so now we have a machlokus between Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman says, I'm not concerned. In other words, you can violate the neder because you haven't set off the trigger, and tomorrow you'll just be careful about the trigger. And Rav Yehuda says, no, people are careful about Nadarm, people are not careful about Tanayim, and so therefore Rav Yehuda disagrees. We brought in our Mishnah, a Mishnah regarding her going to her parents' house, a Mishnah regarding eating a loaf of bread, and all of them seemingly, it seems to debate and argue with Rav Yehuda. The Gemara defended Rav Yehuda's position throughout. Okay. One more point to cover for today, and we'll finish up. Ha'omer li shakonim shani misham shech harizah b'val yachal devaro. Okay. Man says to his wife, this is the case in the Mishnah, I'm going to forbid tashmish. The Gemara says, ha'mishtabed lei mid arayis dechsiv sheirak susav onasol lo yigara. The Gemara says, he can't do that. There's a mitzvah in the Torah that a husband has to his wife, that he has to provide intimacy for his wife. It's a mitzvah in the Torah. Mitzvah in the Torah, an obligation that he has to his wife. So how can he prohibit that to her? There's a shibud. He has an... right? She has a shibud to that right. And so therefore he cannot prohibit it. Okay? But Omer, so to which the Gemara says, okay, well, what maybe what we could suggest is, Hanaf Tashmishech Alai. So maybe he'll say that, you're right, I'm not prohibiting my tashmish to you, because my tashmish to you is a biblical obligation. You have a shiba to that biblical obligation. What I'm prohibiting is the benefit of you to me. Now, I understand. It sounds like semantics. It sounds like, right, it's the same. But in other words, she has a shiba to that. I know it sounds funny, but he doesn't have a shibud to the intimacy. So hanash tashmishech alai. V'halo kanichalei. Sorry. V'halo kanichalei b'tashmish. Amar Rav Kahana tashmishech alech kofen oso misham shto. So the shibud mishaberes lei hanash tashmishech alai aser she'ein ma'achin lo la'adam davar ha'aser lo. So the Gemara says that if we flip it around and he makes the statement that. That your tashmish is going to be prohibited to me, so that's going to be a valid neder. Once again, just one more point to wrap up with today. Let's quickly cover. Take a look at the Ran. So the Ran writes, first of all, Hedy, on the previous discussion between Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman, the Ran says the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. And the Ran points out that the Gemara spent a lot of time defending the position of Rav Yehuda. You get this often. If the Gemara spends a lot of time defending one Amor's position, so sometimes the Rishonim say that's an indication that that's who the halacha falls like. The Ran says that's in fact the case over here. V'hamina Torah Mishabed Lei. All right, I'm going to take us through some of this Ran, some interesting chidushim of the Ran. The Gemara points out that a husband cannot say to his wife that I'm going to prohibit my tashmish upon you because there's a shibud. So the im tomer my kashle v'hamina beperek alpha p. So the Ran says, do you remember what we learned back in Ksuvos? This goes back some time, but the konamus kedushas aguf ninu, a konam which is a neder. So that is kedushas aguf. And mafkia mide shibud. Remember we talked about this? How when you have a shibud, so a shibud means that I have a lien against something. Now generally speaking, that lien is powerful. As powerful as the lien is, three things will break a lien. Remember what they are? Right, carbon. Now I have to remember. Carbon, chametz, and shichur. And the emancipation of a slave. In other words, if I have a shibud against a slave, right, I owe somebody money, and I say, here, you know what? My slave will serve as security. So if I free him, slave goes free. What about the fact that he was a shibud? Doesn't matter. In other words, the shichur breaks the shibud. Same thing with chametz. If I have chametz, which serves as a security against a loan, and now Pesach rolls around, that's it. The shibud is gone. And the same thing is true with kedushas haguf. If I have an animal that's set aside as a security against a loan, and I declare that animal to be a carbon, done. Shibud is gone. Here, why can't we make the same argument? Why can't we say that, look, he has a... it's true, she has a shibud for that obligation of Tashmish Amita. But if he makes a neder, and neder is a konam, a carbon, a kedusha taguf, can't that break the shibud? Interesting. The Ran says, "Yesh lomer dechihecha d'amrin nahasam d'amur rabban l'shibude d'bal hachinami amur rabban l'shibude d'isha." The Ran says, "You know what the chachamim did? Certain shibudim they fortified. In other words, the chachamim reinforced certain shibudim. So this is an example, right? The Gemara speaks about another example. The Ran applies it over here. In other words, the tashmish, the obligation that a husband has to his wife to provide tashmish for his wife, that not only is she has a shibud to that, but a rabbinically backed shibud. So much to the point where even if he makes a neder, the neder will not break that shibud. Okay, that's one chiddush the Ran says over here. The Ran says a couple of other chiddushim. Maybe tomorrow morning I'll just open up by pointing out a couple of other chiddushim within the Ran. Okay, just quickly to wrap up. Most of today was dedicated to the topic of a neder with a trigger. If I have first a trigger, then a neder, so everyone's in agreement. Day one, don't worry. day two, where even though you set the neder in motion, but day two people are going to be careful. Where is there a point of contention? Where I have first day one is a neder and day two is a trigger. So under those circumstances, the Amoraim argue as to whether or not you should be able to sleep on day one, even though you're now potentially going to violate your neder if you set it off. So are we concerned about such a scenario? So Rav Yehuda says, yes, we are. And Rav Nachman says, no, we're not. And the Ran says that the halacha falls like Rav Yehuda. And finally, the Mishnah describes a scenario in which Osman says, I'm not having relations with you by force of neder. So the Gemara says, how can you do that? Isn't he meshubad? Doesn't she have an obligation and an entitlement to that to those rights? So the Gemara says, yeah. So what he'll say is that, right, he'll prohibit her tashmish upon him, that there's no shibud in the other direction, that he has the right to do, and he can make such a neder. And so far, we only spoke out one chiddush on the Ran, in terms of what about the fact that the neder should break the shibud. The Ran says not here.